Sport and Spice, where the chat is well seasoned with Declan Byrne and Lavender Bye.
Oh yes, another week of Sport and Spice. Declan Byrne, Lavender Bye here with you. Pleasure to be here on a huge week. Lavender.
We're going cross country, baby.
Oh, where are you?
I am in I'm not in Sydney. I am in Melbourne. And I'm feeling surprisingly good today.
Oh, okay. So it is F1 week in Melbourne, one of the biggest events on the sporting calendar in Australia, definitely in Melbourne. So I can't wait to hear what it's like on the ground there. You've been out and about. We'll get into that and more later. We're also going to chat to the guys who wrote this song. See if you recognize it. Jackie's arrived on match. Lavender, does this song, Jackie's on the March, mean anything to you, or are you blanking?
I am blanking.
So, they introduced the Tassie Jack Jumpers into the NBL a couple of years ago.
I am aware of the Jack Jumpers.
And this band, who are officially, unequivocally, undisputed Tasmania's favourite band, Luca Brasi, wrote this song without any invitation, just called Jackie's on the March. Listen to this. Which is a reference to the Jack Jump, which is an ant on the march. And they basically said this has to be their theme song, and the Jack Jumpers fans have taken up that this is the theme song for the Jack Jumpers. And so today on the show, I'm going to get Tyler from Luca Brasi on, who wrote this song with the rest of his band, to think about potentially maybe writing the theme song for the Tasmania Devils, who have just been announced to officially join the AFL in 2028. They launched their jersey, their logo, their name through the week. So we're going to chat to Luca Brasi later on in the show.
How incredible. I feel like there's going to be so much. Are we going to make Tasmania the coolest team in the AFL?
If Luca Brasi's writing their song,
it's going to be really hard to hate them.
Mm. All right, let's get into the show.
Highlight. Low light. I'm a loser.
I reckon I could put $1,000 on your low light of the week, Lavender, but just in case it's not the one I'm thinking of, please enlighten us. What is your low light?
Why do you punish me like this? It's absolutely the Knights.
Yeah.
My dear Knights. I love them so much, and I could have copped a big loss or a small loss, but a golden point loss in a game that we deserve to win. My biggest issue, though, is I was going off. All of my friends that are Cowboys fans, I was like, this is so embarrassing for you. Can't relate. We're so good. And then the second they won, I just turned my phone off. I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm out.
Hey,
that was my low light. What was
it
yours?
It was brutal. I just want to quickly say a Golden Point loss this early in the season too is doubly brutal. Like halfway through the season when you've had the highs and lows, the wins, but this early to cop that, that is rough for you and for all the Knights fans around Australia.
I wish you could see the absolute death in my eyes right now. I feel nothing. I'm numb.
Okay, let's move on. Sorry to bring it up.
What's your low light?
My low light, it's actually similar to last week. I keep moving into rentals that I haven't got yet, Lavender. This is a problem. We didn't get another one. I keep getting rejected from very expensive rentals that I don't really feel should be that expensive, but I'm applying anyway, and I'm moving all my stuff in my head, and then they say, sorry, we went to someone who has a cat instead of a dog.
It's devastating.
I love my dog so much, but at the moment, every time I look at Chippies, every time I go for a walk with my dog, I'm thinking, you are costing us at the moment, my friend.
Yeah.
Let's turn the mood around. Highlight of the week.
Where do I begin? The last 24 hours of my life have been ridiculous. Met Valtteri Bottas, who is the nicest man in the world. So generous with his time. So kind. Incredible. And then I went to Glamour on the Grid and met a whole bunch of other people. But yeah, I've just been soaking in the F1 energy all week.
What's like, tell us, for people who haven't made to Glamour on the Grid, which is everyone listening right now, basically, what's it like? Is it a big schmoozy event? Is it a sit-down dinner? Do you get to mingle with F1 people?
It's honestly just like a big PR event of everyone that's in town for the F1, everyone that is of some level of interest in Melbourne. It was a very weird crowd of people. Like, there were so many strange people that never in a million years would I imagine? Like, I asked someone to take my photo and I turned around and it was one of the guys from Jungle Giants. And I was like, oh, this is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But great photo. He's a great photographer.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, it was just like cocktail party, lots of weird Heston Blumenthal style food. I ate an oyster that was made of white chocolate that I thought was a normal oyster.
Who's the most famous person you saw, and also what sort of sports people were there? Because when I think of the F1, I always think of, in the days following, every sports person I follow that lives in Melbourne on Instagram puts up a photo either at Glamour on the Grid or literally sitting on the grid as the cars are about to race.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who I saw. There were lots of people. I saw a few footy players. I saw Elise Kellen-Knight. I saw Emily Gilnick. I saw Harry Garside. Lots of...
Yeah, yeah. A few names dropped on the floor there. I like that. Did you get a selfie with anyone that you don't know?
Oh, no, not that I don't know.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, my highlight
what
of the week...
What was your highlight?
Well, as I said last week, it was my little daughter's second birthday. We had a party. Do you remember, maybe this is just beyond your age, Lav, do you remember the like Women's Weekly Children's Birthday? The cookbook. Yep.
As soon as you started talking, I was like, he's talking about the cake and he's talking about Women's Weekly.
Well, it was my favorite when I was a kid. And so we kind of channeled something similar. She's obsessed with bananas. So we made a banana cake in the shape of bananas and it just had all the aesthetics of that classic Women's Weekly Children's Cake cookbook.
What was your favorite Women's Weekly cake?
I got the pool once. That was definitely a highlight. The pool where you have the water in the cake is jelly. So you carve out a bit of the cake and put blue jelly in there. That was probably my favorite one I got. You?
Perhaps it's a boring answer because there were so many cool ones. But my favorite one, my sister once got the snake.
The snake. I don't remember the snake.
It was coiled up and it had fruit roll-ups cut to be like the diamond pattern on it. And I don't know if it's just, it's the tastiest cake I ever, when I think of good cake, I think of that cake. And it was literally like, mum told me years later, she was like, it was like that 50-cent cake mix from Coles.
Yeah.
And like basic butter frosting. It was nothing gourmet.
Yeah.
Did you see when Bluey, the TV show, did the duck cake?
No.
And then everyone started making they put the duck cake in the show that had the crinkle cut chips
as its
beak.
Yeah.
And so many people tried to build it.
Yeah, right. It's back. All right. Well, that was my highlight. Let's get into the sports side of things, though, and let's award some votes.
One vote. Osho Olay.
The 3-2-1s.
And we're going to start at one, and this is the one. This is the one vote, which gives you a good idea of what the two and the three are. They are of a high caliber, but this is your one vote.
Kaplan-Hausen left.
You can hear the Melbourne crowd. You can hear Glenn Lauder, the commentator, just losing it there at the greatest try in NRL history, is what some people are saying, and I'm not going to argue with it. Xavier Coates, what a try, Lav.
I have been watching NRL for, 25 years, and I've never seen anything like it. I don't think there is really anything that you could put in that caliber. I missed that game, and then I saw everyone posting, but they were just posting. You know when you post a reel on your Instagram story, and it just shows like the first frame of it?
Yeah.
I was just like, why is everyone freaking out about this try? And then I was DJing on Saturday night, and the guy that I DJ for was like, did you see the Storm game? I was like, why would I watch the Storm game? I hate Storm.
I was still crying about the Knights game.
I was like, don't talk to me about rugby league. I was still wearing my Newcastle Knights shirt, being very sad, and he showed me, and I screamed. I was like, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
So wild, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
And I know
and we're facing them this week.
Yeah, oh yeah, you are too. Well, so
I'm bringing all of the worst vibes possible to Melbourne. I'm trying to infect this place with bad vibes so Storm don't win this week.
There were so many elements of it that were wild. The crazy bit for me, I think, is just how far out he jumped. And the fact that Dallin from the Warriors did just about everything right, but he almost gave him like a little boost as if we were playing like Mario Kart and it was like L1, L2, like boosted him up to get him just that extra maybe 20, 30 centimetres that he needed. It was a wild try. I'm sure you've seen all of your socials. But I work on another podcast called Niche and Footy, and Xavier Coates jumped on this week. And this is what he said about the training that goes into it and also about just how maybe his unique history contributed to just how wild the try was.
I had a bit of an upbringing. I had an athletics background, so I was really big into my long jump and triple jump. And I think transitioning from athletics into rugby league, it took a bit of understanding about rugby league, but you know, also adding a bit of my individual characteristics to it. So I think that's helped my transition onto the wing and, you know, finishing off opportunities. And in training, I practice it a fair bit. I put a pad out next to the corner post and I get one of the coaches to pass the ball into me and another coach to sort of come across as if he's a defender. And my job is to sort of position my body in a way where I can finish and put the ball down and sort of stop that defender from interfering with the ball or slapping the ball out of my hands. So it's practiced a fair bit, pretty much every training session. I had a bit of an understanding on where I can sort of jump from to sort of get to the try line. And I thought if I could just leap, give myself an opportunity to sort of get to the try line, if it was any more back, I probably wouldn't have made it to the try line.
So cool to hear him talk about it and just how much practice goes into a moment which is now going to live on forever. That's all he's going to be known for so long.
Oh, absolutely. I can't stop thinking about this moment. And I'm shocked, I got to say, I'm shocked that this only got one vote for us.
Yeah, well, let's go on to the second vote. But also, actually, if you want to listen to that full chat, head to Nation Footy. It's a podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Really cool chat. He's you know, really honest about his Papua New Guinean heritage and culture as well and learning off Justin Olam, another one of the ex-Storm players who is Papua New Guinean. Anyway, Xavier Coates, one vote, two votes. Well, I mean, you think Xavier Coates is big, but nothing's bigger than the Olympics. And there was some massive news this week as we prepare for the Paris Olympics in just over 4 months. A big announcement, Lavender, about some Olympic Village type information. 300,000 condoms will be provided to the Olympic and Paralympic Village.
That's, I have a question. Do we know how many athletes?
So I did some maths for you because I thought you might ask this.
I want to know how many
you want ratios,
condoms
don't you?
Per yep. capita.
Yep. Nope. I thought ahead. Going on here? I got this for you. Okay. So at the Olympics and Paralympics, a total of about 15,000 athletes will go to Paris. And then if you divide 300,000 by 15,000, it's 20 condoms per athlete.
And how many days are they there for?
Well, it's under it depends on 4 weeks. Overall for both of those. So most athletes would be there for a week, I would say. Generally with your events, you kind of come in a bit before into the village and leave soon after.
Yeah,
no play on words there. So about 20 per athlete, which seems like a lot, but it got me thinking, like this is in Paris, you know, the city of love, which might more be like the city of lust for the Paris Games. Which do you think are the horniest Olympics? My mind went straight to either Rio or Sydney. Sydney because Sydney
it's 2000. Turn of the century.
Turn of the century, you know?
Turn
exactly.
of the millennium.
And like everyone's just excited to still be alive. Post.
Yeah, they're like, Y2K yeah, is exactly. over. Let's get it on.
But then Rio, I thought everyone just would feel sexy and good about themselves in Rio. Brazil, yeah. Like, you know, what happens in Brazil stays in Brazil. And I Googled the number of condoms that Rio provided. And it dwarfs the Paris Games. So 42 per athlete at the Olympics alone. 42 condoms per athlete were provided at Rio.
We have known for a long time that Olympians love nothing more than other Olympians.
Well, exactly. And you think about the huge high that they'd be on, all this pressure leading into the Olympics. We spoke to Noemi Fox a couple of weeks ago.
You've got to relieve the pressure somehow.
Exactly. You know, she spoke about just how much tension there'll be at the event to qualify for the Olympics. Then you think about the pressure in the actual Olympics. And then you think about finishing your event. Anyway, just wanted to give you that
anyway,
number.
Anyway, I don't know how we
it
was how
big
we
news.
Circle
also,
back from this.
Tokyo Olympics, there were COVID restrictions. So they didn't get to mingle, shall we say, mingle with
yeah,
other
countries. So it's been a
countries.
Long time.
It's been
since...
a while. They're on a drought. They're on a dry spell, the Olympians. Let's go to our three votes, Lavender, which is much more fun news, especially if you are a football fan. Some big clubs coming to Australia.
Huge clubs coming to Australia. Ange is coming back, baby.
Ange Ball.
We've got Ange Ball in Australia, we've got Newcastle United, and we've got Arsenal Women's.
Yeah.
There's just lots of football going on. There's A-League All-Stars games, there is Tottenham, Newcastle. Yeah, so I think it's Newcastle Men's versus A-League All-Stars Men's, Arsenal Women's versus A-League All-Stars Women, and then Tottenham v. Newcastle Men.
Yep. Yeah. So that's going down at the MCG, and then the Arsenal Women and the A-League All-Stars happening at Docklands. So this is happening in May.
It's going to be a huge week because that's also A-League Grand Final week.
Yeah, it's A-League Grand Final week. Also, the EPL has ended like 2 days earlier. So those three teams, well, at least Newcastle and Tottenham, they will fly out like 2 days later after their final game. Tottenham, it could come down to that final game to see if they make top four in Champions League. But it's going to be a wild time to be a football fan in Australia. And if you don't know, or if you've forgotten, Arsenal Women, they are stacked with Aussies. They're called Arsenal, basically, at the moment, with Steph Catley, Caitlin Ford, and Kyra Cooney-Cross. It's going to be very cool, and I'm excited to see just how many people turn up to these games.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. I think there is such a big... I do feel bad for the players because these players have not had a break in so long.
I know, and then they're like, oh, by the way, yeah, your season just ended. You have to fly to Australia.
Yeah,
like,
fly across the world, play a game, and then you've got the Olympics soon. Like, they just, as soon as this Olympics is done, I feel like we need to just, I feel like we need one season off women's football just to give them all a break.
Yeah. Well, that is happening in May. As you said, the A-League will be also having their grand final weekend around there, so it's going to be huge. Three votes, well deserved.
We're back with A-League to not being a Sydney final, so it could actually also be in Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
It's undecided where this final will be. Sadly, it won't be in Newcastle, much to my disappointment, but it could be in Melbourne, which would mean that it would just be a massive, huge week of football.
Yeah, could be bigger than the F1 week right now.
Could be.
Plenty to come on the show, including we've got a bingo update. I'll give you that in a little bit, but we've crossed off the first square of the 2024 Sport and Spice bingo card. And Tyler from Luca Brasi joins me after the Tassie Devils have been officially launched. They are coming into the AFL in 2028. I'm getting Tasmania's favourite band on the show and the band that wrote a song for the last Tasmanian team to enter a big sporting competition into the NBL. It was the Tassie Jack Jumpers. So we'll speak to Tyler from Luca Brasi really soon here on Sport and Spice.
Woo! Sport and Spice, where the chat is well seasoned with Declan Byrne and Lavender Bai.
As I said, very soon, Tyler from Luca Brasi is joining us. We'll chat about Tassie with him, the Tasmania Devils, and their kind of unique angle that they might be already starting work on writing their theme song, whether they've been invited or not. But let's talk about that massive news in the AFL. It was launched on Monday night. The Tasmania Devils are real. Let's go into their logo, their jersey, their team name. Lavender, early thoughts. What did you think of it all?
I don't hate what's going on. I do think they did the Tassie Devil a little bit dirty by giving him absolutely no jawline whatsoever. but my favorite thing from this saga is that they had to get into a legal battle with Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Because Warner Brothers, I don't know how, Warner Brothers weren't aware that the Tasmanian Devil is an actual animal.
Yeah, that was the weird bit, is it came out that not only have they been in this legal battle for quite a while, but one of the sticking points was when they actually said, hey, by the way, it's an animal. It's like our native animal. It's named after our state. And they're like, oh, I didn't even know it was an animal. Like, how...
But like,
how did they get to that point?
I don't understand, because the Tasmanian Devil in the Looney Tunes looks like a Tasmanian Devil.
Sort of.
Like, you can see that it doesn't look like a scientific sketch of one, but you can see that clearly whoever's drawn it knows what a Tasmanian Devil is.
Yeah.
There's no way that's just a coincidence.
No, exactly. And maybe the person who designed it, so like the, I don't know, whoever the Looney Tunes Warner Brothers cartoonist was back in the 1960s when it was first, actually it was 1954, so over 70 years ago it was first in their cartoons. Maybe they knew it was an animal, but somewhere along the lines the bigwigs at Warner Brothers didn't know. And that was one of the things which finally sort of broke this stalemate, with Tasmania saying they really want to use it, but Warner Brothers owning that trademark. What did you think, though, of the logo? You said he didn't have, the little devil didn't have a jawline. I didn't mind it. Like, the Tasmanian Devil doesn't really have a jawline.
Yeah, but, like, you want to be intimidating. You want to be tough. You want to be hot. And I think no jawline is not doing it any favors.
It looks tough, though. It looks fierce, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at it again. I do like it, but I do think it also gives the vibe of, like, every man I've ever met with, like, trad-style tattoos. It looks like a tattoo.
Yeah, it does look like a tattoo. I thought it looked like...
I say this as someone that is very willing to get Bradman Best's name tattooed on me, so I probably should not judge.
I liked the colour scheme a lot. Even though Tassie Devils are sort of a black and white, they had to incorporate that green and that red. And I think it looks quite global. Like, I think if that was a logo for an American sports team, I don't think you'd blink twice.
It does give very, like, NFL sort of vibes.
Mm, agree. I looked at it and I was trying to think, what could they have done better? I like it all. I'm a big fan. I like those sharp fangs. I also think it has this, it's like quite commanding, like you'd respect it as well as be feared by it. So I
love the colour scheme, I've got to say.
Mm, well, green in the AFL is just been left by the wayside. No one's wanted to touch green in the AFL, which is crazy. It's one of the big colours, right?
And this specific shade of green is very nice. Oh, I think there's lovely. A lot that they can do with this. I'm excited to see where they go.
Yeah. Okay, so that is the logo. The jersey as well, I think, looks great. I'm not too fussed that it is their state jersey. I think the team had to unite the whole state. It couldn't be a totally new jersey. And this one does unite the state, and that's what they've had to do. And the craziest thing is they've offered foundation memberships, Lav, for $10. Over 120,000 people have signed up to be a foundation member of the Tasmania Devils, which to me says a lot of mainlanders have jumped on board the bandwagon, yeah. Which is so good because that is what you want. You want everyone to have their second team. If you're not a Tasmanian, everyone's second team to be Tasmania Devils.
So were people mad that it was the state jersey? There was a bit, that a conversation that was had? But like the team is the state team, which I think is
exactly
a little bit weird that every other team is just a city team.
Yeah, I just don't buy into the jersey stuff. I reckon, like, there's not going to be another team in Tasmania, so you don't have to worry about Hobart and Lonnie getting two teams and having that issue. I think if you had have changed the jumper or the colours from that iconic Tasmania green, you'd be trying to invent something or make it different for the sake of not having that. I don't think the reason to not have it is better than the reason to have it, and I just think it unites the state straight away. And as I said, we've seen that with so many people jumping on those memberships. So I'm all for the jersey. I'm all for the logo. Tassie Devils is my second team. Lock it in.
I really like it. I'm excited to see where they go.
All right. Well, we'll chat to Tyler from Lucobrasi very soon. We'll get his thoughts as a Tasmanian icon himself. But let's get into Formula One. We've touched on it a little bit already, Lavender. But how's it been? What's the atmos like in Melbourne right now?
There are people everywhere. I'm seeing F1 jackets everywhere. Vibes are really high. Seeing heaps of photos at the airport of people coming in. I think it's set to be a really good week of racing.
And is there any sign of Ricciardo or Piastri maybe dominating, like Aussies maybe making that switch from Danny Ric to the more favoured, at least on the race course, Oscar Piastri?
I think so. I think Danny Ric will always be loved by Australia, but I think now he's sort of just like a figure that we love because we love him as a person.
Mm.
I wish him all the best this weekend, but I think everybody is now turning to Piastri as our support of an Australian on the grid. Like, I think he's the one that really has a red hot chance. And I don't want to say that it's bandwagoning. I think it's just supporting Australia and Australian racing and what his success means for everyone else. So I'm really excited to see how he goes.
Yeah, you said you've seen a few jackets. Is there an overwhelming team or colour that you can see more than most?
I think there's a lot of Red Bull and there's a lot of Ferrari, but I think that's just because aesthetically they look really nice.
The red of the Ferrari. People just
the red of the Ferrari
it,
and like the Red Bull designs that they have. I don't know what it is, but everyone just loves that jacket.
Because we've talked,
seen 100 of them today.
We've talked about Red Bull quite a bit and the fact that last year was pretty boring. Verstappen won, whatever it was, 19 races out of 20-something. He dominated. So there's not like a tall poppy type situation like there is with a lot of Australian sport where no one or people are, you know, jumping off the Red Bull train to go to one of those smaller teams?
I don't think so. Maybe not this year. I don't think that Red Bull is going to really have a moment now. I think when we have the rule change in 2026, I have a sinking feeling that Red Bull are sort of going to fall to not a bottom team, but sort of like a fifth, sixth team.
Huge. Have you got any other hot takes for this weekend? What's any predictions, something to look out for on over the course of the weekend leading up to the race on Sunday, Arvo?
In my conversation with Bottas, I did find out that he is back on 5 years ago. He won in Australia after having porridge for breakfast and everyone lost their minds about his porridge. And I can confirm he is having porridge for breakfast on Sunday. So if he wins, you can all thank me for that.
You thank you.
Me personally.
Not the porridge.
Not the porridge,
just because what you asked about it.
I asked about the porridge.
Okay. Well, I wonder, porridge, yuck. And do people, I didn't know this, do people freak out because porridge in a car going 300 k's an hour, like steaming up in there, it sounds disgusting? That to me sounds rancid.
I don't really understand. Because I saw a news article about it when I was like researching before I got to talk to him. And I don't really understand at all why anyone was weirded out. Like, to me, porridge is a very, it's not like he was like, oh yeah, I had lasagna for breakfast. Like Erling Haaland
porridge is a breakfast.
Yeah, cereal. Like it's a very food. It's a very normal breakfast food. But yeah, other than that, I think my other prediction, I hate to say it, I don't think Daniel Ricciardo is going to do well this weekend at all.
You think he's not in the points, or you think he might?
Oh, there's no way. There's no way that he's in the points.
Oh, no way. Okay.
I think he might DNF, or he will just have a really bad race. And I think come next week there will be talks of him losing his seat. I don't think he'll lose his seat next week, but I think maybe I'm just being a massive hater here. But I just have a feeling that he's not going to have a good week this week, and then next week it's going to start the conversations. And we will be talking next Friday about the future of Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that's a prediction based on absolutely nothing. I would just like the record to reflect that I have no inside information on what is happening with Daniel Ricciardo.
You didn't hear anything at Glamour on the Grid. You're just making it up. Drivers getting photos with footy teams. I've seen one. You know how when any sports person comes to town, every footy team tries to get them holding their jersey? I saw Charles Leclerc with an Essendon jersey. That's all I've seen. Have you seen any on your socials?
No, but if you asked me who Charles Leclerc's team would be, the Bombers makes a lot of sense.
Tell me more. Why?
I would have never picked it. But he just gives massive Bombers energy. He was, I found out from TikTok, because nobody works harder on TikTok than the F1 girlies trying to meet drivers. They are like contact Tracy's levels. They could sort this out. he was at Urban Surf. Like yes.
Well, that's where I saw the photo of him at Urban Surf, which is the surf
which
park
used to
in
be,
Melbourne.
I used to live right behind the hangar where the Dons train.
Mm.
And then Urban Surf is like right next door. So I wonder if someone from the Dons marketing team just ran over and was like, give me every jersey you've got. Give me a Sharon. Give me a hat. Give me a scarf. And then just threw it at him and was like, you're a Dons fan now.
He didn't look overly sort of comfortable or stoked with it. He was sort of holding it with a slight grin on his face.
This man is sitting on yachts, like no disrespect to the AFL. But you know how people say that the AFL is the best sport in the world? I don't think that Charles Leclerc, when he is sipping cocktails on his yacht in Monaco that is worth more than you and I could even fathom, he is watching the AFL. No. That man is not watching Essendon game.
No chance, not at all. Especially,
I don't think you could pay him to go to an AFL grand final. Charles Leclerc just doesn't seem. I think there's other drivers that you could get on board. I think Lando Norris could be convinced. I think Checo could be convinced. I just don't see Charles Leclerc being an AFL fan.
Well, they gave him an Essendon jersey with number 16 on the back, which. Yeah,
did they
number.
Get a Sharon in his hands?
All I can see is him sort of doing a little smize setup, waves in the background, holding the 16 jersey. That's all I got for you.
I'm going to have to do some digging here.
Yeah, well, talk to me about these TikTok girls digging around for sightings, locations of the F1 drivers. How deep and
I'm very
scary
deep.
Does it get?
I'm very deep in F1 girly TikTok. And it's so funny because I saw something the other day that they were asking which hotels the drivers are staying at. And someone asked where Charles was staying. And this girl goes, oh, he's staying at the Backpackers on Elizabeth Street, which is just like the most generic backpacker. And this girl was like, I'm here. I don't think this is where he's staying. This is a bit weird. But everything I've seen seems largely respectful. We've seen some photos at the airport. Like, I know quite a few people got photos with Charles Leclerc when he got off the plane and was sort of going through. You know, when you get out of an international airport, you sort of get out of customs, that little walk bit.
Mm-hmm.
He was signing things. He was taking photos. I think everyone, like all the drivers, are quite happy to engage with fans as long as they're not being creepy and weird. And at least from what I've seen, it doesn't look like people are being creepy and weird.
Okay.
Which is nice.
We need your personal opinions aside. So pretend George Russell, you're not as obsessed as you are with him. And also pretend you didn't just meet Valtteri Bottas and you know how nice a guy he is. Who is the most coveted selfie out of the F1 drivers on the grid?
Ooh. I feel like it'd be Lewis.
Okay. Because of GOAT status?
Yeah, I would say like Lewis or maybe Charles Leclerc, just because he is a beautiful, like, I mean, every F1 driver is a very, very good looking man, but I think Charles Leclerc could like do Vogue covers every week if he didn't want to be a race car driver.
Why are they all so beautiful as well? There's such a high ratio of good looking men who are F1 drivers. Is it just because they're all rich?
I think they are all massive, bar a few. 99% of the grid at any given time is a Nepo baby that has been brought up with not a silver spoon in their mouth, a solid gold diamond encrusted spoon in their mouth. They grow up in places like Monaco. Who the hell grows up in Monaco? That's not a place where real people live. That's a place where rich people go on holidays.
Mm.
So I think they just have good genes because of money.
Isn't that funny though? Because why do rich people produce hot people? Like, what? How does that? That's not a logical conclusion. If two rich people get together, why are they going to produce, you know, someone with Carlos Sainz jawline? What? How does that happen?
It's not so much plastic surgery, but it's like when you can get the facials and like the jaw sculpting and like the lymphatic drainage massage and all these weird things. It's very easy to be good looking if you have endless amounts of money to throw at things.
All right. Well,
which
we'll
I imagine
see.
They would do because they're also traveling all the time. So they're probably getting, I would getting be interested to see trip. Drivers. Yeah. I should have asked Valtteri Bottas about that. What's your beauty regime?
Yeah, drop your
drop
beauty.
Drop the skincare routine.
All right. We've still got to get to our game Connect 2, and I'm going to incorporate some F1 into it as well. So stick around off the back of the best Connect 2 ever last week when I got somehow incredibly to Thorpe's Angels. We're gonna play that in a little bit. But up next, we will chat to Tyler from Luca Brasi. Not before we give you a quick bingo update, though. There was a non-bird animal that stopped a major sport event during the week, Lav.
Well, bees are these that are circling ahead. Gee, how many there are.
We are surrounded with bees here. Play cannot continue. Play pause for a while here now.
Mohammed said there were bees, didn't he?
Yeah, it's horrendous. Oh, my goodness.
This is so funny because not only is it on the bingo card, it is the one that we debated the most. We tried to find the wording and we ended up with non-bird animal.
Non-bird, yeah.
But it was also the first thing on the bingo card.
It's top left.
It's top left.
Beautiful. It's nice and symmetrical. We're starting top left. We've crossed it off. So where it happened, it was at the Indian Wells tournament, a tennis tournament in the US. Bees. A huge swarm of bees stopped the game between Carlos Alcaraz and Alexander Zverev. Alcaraz actually got stung by them. Apparently, the queen bee stuck herself to the spider cam that's, you know, above the tennis court. And so all the bees were flocking. The way they got rid of the bees is they got this dude in, this typically American-looking dude who is a bee remover. He vacuumed up all the bees.
Yeah, but that's what they it's a special kind of vacuum, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he didn't pull out, you
like,
know,
they're not his, getting the
his budget
the,
one from Kmart.
The,
no.
The Dyson and...
No. He had a special one. He wasn't even in any, like, he wasn't in a hazmat suit. He was clearly a bee whisperer. Just vacuumed them up and tennis
I feel like I could
on.
Become a crazy bee person.
Oh, you think you've got that in you?
I've been looking after Mum's garden and there are a lot of bees there now. And I just like, it's very soothing to just go like tend to the garden and listen to the bees and water the plants, hang out. I feel like I could be a crazy person that's like, I just make my own honey and I have this colony of bees that I hang out with.
Well, they could have used you at Indian Wells because it stopped a tennis game and it ticked off our first
square. It ticked off
square.
The first square of the bingo card.
If you want to find it, head to our socials on my TikTok. I've updated it there. So have a look. the 2024 Sport and Spice Bingo. But it is time to get to Tyler from Lucobrasi. Unfortunately, Lav, because you're in Melbourne, you didn't get to chat to Tyler. I did.
Devastating.
Yeah, but here's his thoughts on the new Tassie team and also potentially penning the theme song.
Here's my top footy tip for the season. You can get your games live and ad-free on the ABC Listen app.
That's insane.
I know, right? AFL, NRL, men's, women's. Whatever footy you're after, we've got you covered. Every goal, try, mark and tackle. Called by ABC Sports expert commentary team.
Game, set, bingo.
This season on the home of 100% pure footy, the ABC Listen app.
Sport and Spice with Declan Byrne and Lavender Bye.
On Sport and Spice today, all we've been seeing this week is Jack Riewoldt this, Matthew Richardson that. I want to go to the heart and soul of the Apple Isle. I want to go to a man who fronts a band that, you know, in my opinion, in a lot of Tasmanians' opinion, the best Tasmanian band ever. He's a big footy and basketball head, and they actually wrote this song.
Jackie's a
They wrote the song for the Jack Jumpers when they entered the NBL, I think without invite. Let's get him on. Tyler Richardson from Lucobrasi. How you going, mate?
Deck, mate. I'm very well. And yeah, just to reinforce the fact that no one wanted us to write that song. We just wrote it and somehow got a meeting with the CEO and gave it to them.
So I haven't been to a Jack Jumpers game. Where does this sort of song feature? Does the march, march, march come through several times a game? This bit here. Take me to the Jack Jumpers game.
So basically the history was, like I said, we got him the thing. We're like, here's your theme song. And they were kind of like, right, okay. And we all went to the first home game and the deal was we got a message on Instagram saying, if we win, it's going to happen. It's going to get played. So we were like, shit, this is huge. And then I heard that first kick drum sort of start at the end when we won. And I was like, oh my God, it's the bloody song.
Yeah.
So it's always when we win, it gets played, obviously, when you're at home. But now it's progressed to the march bit. Is actually, it gets played at the very start of the game and everyone stands up and says march for like 5 minutes and it's become part of the bloody, the culture of the Jack Jumpers, which is just crazy considering it's just this thing that we wrote, you know, it's Matt.
It's such a good story. Well, we'll get to a Tasmania Devil's thoughts of a song a bit later on, but we always start with our guests by playing a little game called Phone a Friend. I need you to open up your contacts list. We're not going to phone anyone, but this is where I'm going to give you a letter and a number and we just have to see who you land on. And you just tell me who it is and we'll see. So I'm going to go to the letter. Look, it's Lucobrasi. Let's go to the letter L.
letter L.
So if you scroll down to L and then maybe let's go the third person in your L's. Who do you come to?
I come to my mate, Lewis Wilson,
Lewis.
Who is a Sydney Swans fan.
Oh, we love Lewis. How do you know Lewis?
Lewis is from Wollongong and we met in Tassie and then he started teaching at the same school as me.
There you go. Do you see Lewis ever or is he one of those guys that you had that great friendship with and now it's just like the odd message on Insta or something?
No, we're mates. He's a bloody legend. Really good guy.
Nice one. All right.
Apart from his football team choice, mate.
So, well, let's get into footy. Who do you go for at the moment in the AFL?
At the moment, it's a great term to preface that with. Deck. I go for the Bombers. I've been a Bombers fan since I was in kindergarten, according to my mum. As you know, Tassie never had a team. So I guess when we were kids, we latched on to whatever team was doing their thing. So I would have been 91 when I started going for them. And then 2 years later, and I was in grade one, we won the premiership, the 93 era. So
formative.
I'm assuming it must have been older brothers and close mates that got us, you know what I mean? And that's when it sort of kicked hard with Wanganeen and those guys.
Yeah, okay, cool. So what are you going to do with your allegiance to the Bombers come 2028?
This is the question that's been bouncing around a lot through all our Tassie mates because, like I said, we all latched onto a team. Tassie's going to become my number one. It has to. Like, I just feel like when you've got national allegiance to a team because you are from there, it's going to have to be there. But in saying that, Bombers will be a very close number two / number one. I don't know how to word it. What happens when it's a derby between your two teams?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to know. Are you wearing two jerseys? Are you going all like mum who has a kid in each team and stitching the two together?
Yeah, exactly. Mate, two-headed Tasmanians, I can just do it easily.
Exactly.
No worries.
So this week we saw the launch of the logo, the name, the jersey. As someone who grew up in Tassie, you know, following footy, dreaming of maybe a Tassie team entering the AFL, what did you think when it was all confirmed and locked in?
Just okay. So the logo. Oh, sorry. I'm gonna start with the name because I feel like it had to be the Devils. Like that history of the culture. I don't really know if there's any other suggestions that really match that. Especially nothing as left field as the Jack Jumpers, for example. But like it just always feels like we're the Devils. I love the colours. I love the logo. I love a throwback. Like I'm a big basketball head, and when they chuck on a throwback sort of logo, I love that clean simplicity of it all.
The jersey. What did you think of, you know, having the state emblem on that jersey? I know some people talked about you shouldn't have a state emblem on a jersey that's in a national competition. What do you make of it?
It's hard because we're the only state representative team. Man, I love it. I'm from Tasmania. I think everyone feels so the bastard cousin of Melbourne in Tasmania and often the butt of everyone's jokes that becomes a sense of pride to be Tasmanian and to see it out in the logo, man. I'm all about it.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is amazing. I'm seeing tick, tick, tick from Tyler. That's a good sign.
I love it.
When you were a kid and you were growing up in Tasmania, were there actually dreams that we should have a Tassie team? Were you cheering on players that were from Tasmania when you were watching AFL?
Yeah, always. So I don't really remember ever thinking when I was that young, oh, I can't wait for a Tassie team. But it was always, oh, this guy's from Tasmania. I'm stoked that he's playing today, or we're stoked. And then we had the Mariners and all those guys and the Devils that were like those kind of sub branches. It was always really exciting. So always as a Tasmanian, I feel like when someone from Tassie is winning, everyone's sort of winning. There's this real groundswell of support underneath you to be from there and to succeed. But then the fact that we actually get our own team it's pretty mind-blowing, man. I've seen a lot of emotion come out from a lot of people that I know and love that, you know, it's bigger than football for them, you know. It's something to be really proud of, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. What will it mean for rusted-on Tasmanians who love their footy but are not moving from the Apple Isle?
Yeah, man, I think it'll mean everything. Like, when you see the numbers of these memberships, like, I don't know what it is now, like,
I saw it was 120,000. I saw it was 120. Yeah, yeah.
And what's the pies? Like 106?
Yeah.
I realised there's not a team yet, and a membership was very cheap. But like, it's got to mean something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think. I hope. Like, it's pretty massive. Yeah, it's exciting. I just feel like we've never, until the Jackies, to be able to go to a game and say, this is our team. I'm from here. Really excited to talk about it. I didn't realize I was this excited, man. So thank you.
Yeah, yeah. It is 120,000. You can become a foundation member if you want. I think it's 10 bucks. You get a sticker. And I'm guessing a lot of people, as well as Tasmanians, but mainlanders have jumped on and they now have a second team. They're excited by it, whether they've just holidayed to Tasmania or they have a friend or a cousin there. It does feel like, I mean, me personally, I love Tasmania. I've loved when I've spent time down there. Is it everyone's cheering this team on? Are you feeling that love?
Yeah, man, absolutely. I think there's a bit going on with the politics side that I'm not going to get too bogged down in because I just can't touch on it. But the fact that we could have a team in the AFL is just everyone's feeling that support. Everything else aside, which is tricky, the fact that there could be a team in Tasmania, everyone's excited about it. I know that much for sure.
Okay, so let's leave the politics out of it. Good call. Let's pretend it all goes smoothly. The money comes from places that, you know, hopefully still don't detriment other areas that need money. Let's say the stadium gets built. It's in Hobart. You're from the north of Tassie. For people who don't know much about Tasmanian culture, is there a rivalry between north and south? Or do you think you'll all unite? You'll happily travel down every second Saturday to watch your team. What's that going to be like?
I think this will be a uniting force. Like, there's definitely the north-south, like, divide thing, which you hear a bit about, but, like, it's just a bit of fun for sure. But this will definitely be the uniting factor. I'm 100% convinced that will be the thing.
Yeah, it is very exciting. I can't wait for 2028 or, you know, whenever it happens. I'm chatting to Tyler from Luca Brasi, who, well, a lot of people are asking, who should they sign? Who should they get? I don't want to worry about who they should sign because that is a long way in the future.
Yeah,
I want to talk. Yeah, I want to talk about the Tassie Devils song. As we said at the start, you guys just uninvited wrote Jackie's on the March. Something has to have gone through your head of the Tasmanian Devils song. Tell me where you're at, what you can give us, and if you've even heard from anyone or if it's going to be another uninvited sitch.
As soon as we knew this was happening, you know, the launch was coming. Obviously, there's some messages going around the band chat saying, here we go again, boys, that sort of stuff. We're no further down the road. I've opened my mouth a couple of times and been a smart ass and said, oh, I could easily write another Jackie's on the March song in the car on the way to work as a joke. And I've had strips torn off me, man. Like, this is when I realized that people really care about this team. the amount of people who are like, buddy, hell, you don't care at all. The amount of thought you're giving Jack. I was like, mate, I just made a joke about it. And people are really, really passionate. So I've learned that I should probably be quiet. I've been misquoted a bunch of times saying that, yeah, we're working on it. I need to straight up say that we haven't worked on anything. We haven't been asked to. And please calm down. The only thing I did say was it should be someone from Tasmania because it's got to mean something to them. Whether that is us, and I'm not saying it is, please don't listen to this and think that I've bloody written a song. You can tell I've had some strips torn off me.
yeah, you are damaged. Yeah,
but, man, I'm damaged, man.
Imagine being a footy player and getting strips torn off you.
Oh, mate, it gives you a small example of social media and what it does. So I don't open my DMs. I don't do that stuff anymore. But a lot of people love the Jackie song. A lot of people were like, I hate the Jackie song. And either way, smugly, I don't care because I get to listen to it at the game. but yeah, as long as it's someone from Tasmania that writes it, as long as they care, they have a stake in it, I don't care who it is. I am so stoked. Whether it's, I've seen a lot of debate about, is it to the tune of an old song? Is it like another song that they've taken and changed the lyrics of, like all, you know, the old school ones were? Is it a new one, like a take, like a Frio, or that sort of thing? I mean, you can't please everyone. It's so hard. If there's 120,000 members in 2 days, imagine the divide in age, in genre of music, what people like. If you can try and please everyone, you're absolutely screwed. In saying that, if anyone who runs a team, just give us a shout and I'll write a stupid song on the way to work in my car again.
You've doubled down.
I've got to take it now. I'm doubling down. Yeah. I don't know what it should be, but just, again, it needs to be someone from Tasmania who has a stake and really cares.
So let's play hypothetical then, even if it's not you. Does something stand out like it stood out with the Jack Jumpers, the sting in the tail? Is there a quality to the devil? Is there something that straight away goes, this would have to be in it? Even if it's a little rhyme you have or a line in your head that you're thinking, this would be a good idea or a little bit of the song that I think would work.
That was the cool thing about the Jackies one, because obviously it's such a it's an endemic species in Tasmania, and I have such a history with them because my dad is allergic, like he nearly died once from getting bitten. And I know how bad it is to get bitten by a shitload of Jack Jumpers. So I had to actually Google, is the sting in the tail? And yes, the sting is in the tail. I just didn't know that. I just wrote the song. But the devil itself lends itself to that because I don't know if you've ever seen one before, but they are chaotic, fierce animals. I mean, there's so much in there you could deal with about, you know, the qualities of the devil itself. Someone's going to find something that works in there and talk about, you know, what a devil is like. They're ferocious, gnarly things, man. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is devil, I mean, top of the dome, is devil rhyming with anything?
No, that's tricky.
It's like the new orange.
Jack Jumpers suit. Oh, yeah, exactly, man. So I think going back to finding the qualities that fit with it is where you would hit something good. It'll be easy to rhyme for, you know, like something personal about the devil itself.
Yep. I love that. Well, you have got, you know, 3 or 4 years to hop in a car and write the song. So you've got a bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. DMs are open. Get in there and tear shreds off me.
Yeah, great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tyler, for jumping on. As
pleasure,
I said,
man.
One of Tassie's favourites. You guys are on tour as well. May dates. Look them up on Luca's socials.
Yep, May dates. We're starting to get back on the road. We've got a new record that we haven't really got to tour because of some crazy things that have been going on. But in May, we're back on the road and we get to play these songs. You can come and scream how I should have written Jackies on the March better and how I'm going to ruin the Devil's song. So, yeah, I can't wait to see you there.
Do you ever play Jackies on the March in a Luca Brasi set?
We played in Hobart. And on the weekend, it became our walk-on song. We decided to do that too. It was really fun.
Good one. Cool. That's good. Yeah, okay, last question before. I'm going to play some Luca Brasi now from that latest record from last year. But who's your favourite ever Tasmanian footy player?
Piercy, Alex Pierce from the Dockers, 100%.
Olveston? Yeah, we've had him.
Ollie
on the
boy,
show.
Yeah,
that's
well done.
Right. Yeah, we've had him on the show. He's a good fella.
He's a really solid individual, man. I love him.
First captain of the Devils. What do we think?
I love it. I did slyly poke that in too. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. He'll be in a good spot in his career too. Like move home, maneuver his way in.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Tyler. You're a legend. Let's play a bit of Luca Brasi now.
Sport and Spice with Declan Byrne and Lavender Bye.
A big thanks to Tyler from Luca Brasi. Honestly, they are Tasmanian icons. If anyone deserves to do the Tasmania Devils theme song, it has to be them. I can't wait. I hope they're still making music in 4 years when the Devils launch. But it is time to play our favourite game, our favourite new game here on Sport and Spice. It's this.
Go for it!
I win!
Connect two.
Go for it!
Yeah!
Connect two.
I'm coming off the Hive last week still. Lav, God, that was a good connect two.
Oh, it was such a good one, and I don't know. I feel like this game has shown you to look very good and me to look very, very dumb.
Well, I don't want you to look dumb, okay? And if you're listening right now, you get to play along as well. This is the game where we give you two athletes or people in the world, vaguely sport-related, and you've got to find a way to connect them. It could be two connections. It could be 20 connections. It doesn't matter. You've just got to find a way. Last week, as I said earlier, I went back to the hit show from the early 2000s, Thorpe's Angels, to connect Kathy Freeman to Alana Kennedy. No, Thorpe to Alana Kennedy. So, look, there's a way to do it. And Lavender, because I thought, you know, this week has been a big week for you traveling. You've had Glamour on the Grid a couple of nights ago. You are clearly not
I've
running.
I've got one brain cell left that's doing the DVD loading screen thing where it's just bouncing off
bouncing
every corner.
Corner to corner. Yeah. So your two, I need you to connect Valtteri Bottas to Oprah.
Oh, my God.
Talk us through. Give me your mind map as you're thinking
it. How many connections did this take you?
I've got three in between those two names. So Bottas to Oprah with three people in the middle.
Ooh.
Come on, think out loud. Bring everyone along for the journey.
Okay, so I'm going to go. Oh, I think I might have something. Oprah interviewed Harry and Meghan.
Mm-hmm.
Meghan Markle was in Suits. Suits is a show on Netflix.
No, that is too broad. You can't then go to Drive to Survive.
Okay.
Your clue is that there's an Australian, there's actually, yeah, more than one Australian connection in here.
Are we going to Tiff Cromwell?
I'm liking where your head's heading.
Okay. Bottas is married or is in a relationship with Tiff Cromwell, glorious Australian cyclist. Tiff Cromwell went to the Olympics.
So broad.
No. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah. She did.
Harry and Meghan are part of the royal family. The royal family colonized Australia. Tiff Cromwell is Australian.
You've done two very vague or sort of two broader connections. And you're in the ballpark in that it's to do with someone big that Oprah interviewed.
Who else did Oprah interview?
A couple of people, actually. Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah, she's only had a career for
a couple of decades. Yeah.
I've got it. Valtteri Bottas races F1 with a man named Lewis Hamilton, whose actual name is Sir Lewis Hamilton. Sir Lewis Hamilton was knighted by the Queen of England. The Queen of England is Harry's grandmother. Harry and Meghan were interviewed by Oprah.
Hey, there you go. I rate that. That's good.
What was your connection? That was a good one.
That was
I'll
a good
take
one.
That.
That was fun.
If we cut the 10 minutes it took me to get there.
So my connection, Valtteri Bottas, in a relationship / married / whatever to Tiffany Cromwell. She's an Australian cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the same Olympic team and same cycling team as Cadel Evans.
Tour de France.
Mm-hmm. So we headed to the Tour de France. Cadel raced against Lance Armstrong. And one of the biggest Oprah interviews is Oprah and Lance. That's how we got there. But yeah, that Oprah-Lance interview where he sort of confessed to doping and everything, that's huge. I vividly remember that. Let's get out of here. It is time to get to the footy. What we're looking forward to this weekend? Well, I'm going to jump in. The surfing starts in a few days. Tyler Wright and Ethan Ewing both lost in Portugal. So I reckon the Aussies will be out for revenge when it kicks off in early next week. Picklum is still sitting number one in the women and in the men's. Ewing's number two, Robinson's number four. As well as that, it's multicultural round in the NRL. So I can't wait to see the big celebration this weekend. The Pacifica representation alone is like 50% of the NRL. So really good to celebrate these stories. And I love You know, seeing the families there, the celebrations before, the traditional dances and everything that comes with it. So I'm excited for that. Lavender, I'm going to guess one thing's on your mind.
It's F1, baby. I'm going to go sit at Albert Park and I'm going to watch cars drive very fast round in circles.
Yep.
It's going to be a huge weekend. It's my favorite week of the year in Australia. Bring it on.
All right. Let's head to the footy. Thanks, Lavender. We'll see you next week when you are stinking of tyres and oil and gas and Leclerc's smize.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. See ya.
See you then.